Meeting is now called to order. I'm looking at the agenda for December 8th, 2020. It's a short agenda, so we should be able to leave in good time. The first item on agenda is the minutes itself. As you can, those all those who have minutes can see that there aren't that many items. There's the approval of the agenda itself. There's the action item, status report, agency reports, other business, public comments, which I expect won't be very much, very long. Notices, and notices, of course, as we all would know, are just information we've probably already received already, covered already. So let's get started by quorum.
Mr. Chair, since you've been given that packet when you picked it up, we did as a staff notice when we looked in our bylaws today. So there has been an action item added to the agenda from what you have. If you look on your screen, we have to do an election of the chair and vice chair today. We're a little bit behind on that, so we need to take care of that business today as well, sir. So that has been added. I just wanted to bring that to your attention before we actually vote on the agenda.
Everyone understands it's what we'll be electing. We may be electing new chairs and vice chairs.
Yes, sir.
What is the rule concerning people continuing off as chair or vice chair? Is there a term limitation or something? We need to know that when we vote. Is there a term limitation? Not that I want to be chair again, but I just want to know.
It's 1 year.
1 year.
Yes, sir.
So there's a term limitation. Okay.
Yes, sir.
No problem. So I'm going to be chair next year, okay? We all got that, everyone?
Correct. So we have to...
Understand, no problem.
Nominate somebody else?
Okay. That's the last item on the action item, though, however. So let's get started. So everyone has gone online, I trust, and has seen the agenda. Agenda was course for October 22nd. We last met. Can I get a motion to... approved that at those minutes?
Zarmon Turner, I make a motion to approve the October minutes.
Do I second that motion? To approve the minutes.
I'm Tony Abbott, I'll second that. Is anybody else out there that's not attending? Is anybody on Zoom?
Before we go any further, let's find out who's out there. There are three of us here.
That's it. Okay, so I just don't, I wanted to know whether to wait for somebody else to speak up out there, but that's fine. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so it's been properly moved and seconded. We're going to now consider the motion. All those in favor would say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion is carried, so the minutes from last meeting is approved. Now, the first action item.
Mr. Chairman, we need to approve the agenda first, sir.
Oh, okay. I thought we just approved it.
That was the minutes that you did.
Oh, correction.
Yes, sir. That's okay.
Okay. Thank you for saying that.
Yes, sir.
We have approved the agenda. Now, let's look at the minute. Look at the...
I motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? So there's no opposition. So the agenda has been approved. So we have so far approved both the agenda and the minutes. Now the second action item concerns the 2045 MTP amendments.
Mr. Chair, the second item is the election of the officers, sir.
So we're going to we can move it from the bottom to the top then. Okay, let's do that then.
Who are our choices now? Who are the members? Well, I mean, there's other people too.
Yes.
I say we nominate them in their absence.
Well, we actually, it has to be people that have been present, coming, attending, and participating. And unfortunately, we're kind of suffering just a little bit getting participation in this group. So we've...
All right, well, I've got a nomination. Is this for both chair and vice
chair? Well, let's do chair first.
All right. I would nominate Amon. Does my nomination need a second?
Yes, sir.
All right, is there a second, Mr. Chairman?
I'll second. Normally chairs don't.
That's all right. That's all right. In times of necessity. Yeah.
Okay, I second.
All right.
So it's been properly moved and seconded.
Do you accept that position?
Yes, I accept.
Thank you.
Okay, so all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
You got a new chair. Okay, now the next person will be vice chair.
I'd like to make a nomination for vice chair.
Yes, sir.
Since the meeting, since the one term only applies to chairman, I nominate the current chairman to serve as vice chairman.
Is that?
Yeah.
I second.
Do you accept that position, Mr. Chairman? Okay.
Okay, so we have.
Congratulations.
Now, chair and vice chair. Do you want to change over right now? Do you want to?
No, sir, this will start the next meeting.
Okay, that's the next meeting. Okay, so work with that.
Just watch and learn.
Watch and learn. He says to watch. He's been here, that's the thing, he's been coming to the meetings, so he's been watching and participating. Okay. Our next item, action item, has to do with the 2045 MPT minutes. Have a president? No?
It's the draft of the fiscal year 2024 UPWP.
Okay.
Your screen?
I'm looking at this here, but okay, look at the screen. Okay, I see that.
Okay.
Okay, let's do the draft. Who's the presenter for that? Staff presenter.
Good afternoon, and I will do the presentation. The fiscal year 2024 Unified Planning Work Program is the staff budget for the fiscal year 2024, which is between July 1st, 2023 to June 30th, 2024. So I will just highlight the budget portion of it. So basically the staff, the MPO operation will be using the formula planning funds and then section 5303, that's the transit portion of the funds. So the formula funds is about $436,000. That's the federal portion. And then the section 5303 transit portion is $176,000. And for the formula PL funds, highway funds, the MPO dues will cover the 20% local match. And then for the section 5303, Georgia DOT will cover 10%. And then the MPO dues will cover 10%. So the total budget for Quorum PO is about $766,000. So this is this funds will be used for MPO to conduct administration that like supporting all of those meetings, committees, public involvement, and data collection analysis, and that's including the socioeconomic data, census data, and the land use data, and the system planning and operations. The system planning operations includes long-range transportation plan, TIP, Transportation Improvement Program, congestion management process, freight planning, non-motorized transportation plan, etc. And also includes the staff overview or oversee the deliverables from the special studies, corridor studies, etc. The transit planning task will be divided into long-range plan, TIP, and short-range planning and administration as well. So as you can see, this is what the MPO staff will be doing under these tasks. And then I also listed some information under transit and highway for special studies, but these studies will be used, the transit planning studies will be used by CAT and their consultants to conduct several plan update like transit development plan and master transit plan and route restoration transit enhancement study and AOPP to address the persistent poverty. And the special study funds, we're using discretionary planning funds to do regional freight plan update and urban flooding model study. And then we're using the CRESA funds to do the US 80 corridor study. And then we'll use the Y230 funds to do US 17 corridor study, STR 204 access study, and President Street rail crossing elimination study. So basically, this just I just want to show you the budget for next fiscal year. The tasks actually organized just based on this. So if you can, if you're interested in looking at the document, just review it and then send me any comments by the end of next Wednesday. And we will incorporate your comments and submit the revised draft to Federal Highway, Federal Transit, and GDOT for comment review. So today I'm asking for your endorsement so that we can forward this.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we endorse the plan as presented by WCODA. Okay. And I want to add, you know, before I receive any action on my motion, that this is a bargain. This is a great bargain that we're getting for all this work that's done. 785,000 covers the core MPO staff.
Yeah, basically covers myself, Aisha, Jasmine, Sally, and then also some part of like indirect cost. So that would be the executive director of MPC and the computer IT department. So, and then also equipment and supplies. Yeah.
That's great. I heartily endorse our approval of that.
Having heard the motion, is there a second to it?
Armand Turner, I second the motion.
Now, by the way, Tony Abbott, I'm movement.
Okay.
For the record.
So we have both moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? No one opposed. The motion carries.
Okay.
So we have endorsed it.
Yes. So we will forward the draft. Yeah. For review. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, okay, the second item.
Yeah, the number four item is also mine. It's the 2045 MTP amendments. Basically, GDOT requested us to include a project, the Memorial Bridge, basically the downtown Talmadge Bridge. And they want to include the preliminary engineering phase into fiscal year 2023, and then the construction phase into 2025. But this project is not included in the current 2045 MTP. You know, the T projects is a subset of the MTP. It has to be consistent with the MTP. So we're amending the project with both project phases into the 2045 MTP. The most important consideration is the fiscal constraint. That means we need to have enough money to cover the projects. So including this project doesn't mean that it will kick out other projects in the 2045 plan because of the new federal funding legislation, IIJA, we'll come up with additional funds. And then Georgia DOT will come up some additional funds as well. So we will have to make some assumptions to our 2045 plan revenue projection to say that we have additional revenue to cover this new project. So we will just include this project into the 2045 cost band one.
Is that an action item?
Yes, it's action item. Yes, we need your endorsement.
Question for look at the voting on endorsement. Have we ever not had the money?
The most important consideration for any long-range transportation plan is the fiscal constraint, because you if you only have $10 million, you cannot spend $11 million. So you have to make sure you have enough money to cover your projects. So if we don't have additional revenues, and we have to decide the trade-off, if you want to include this project, which project to kick out. But if we change the assumption that we will have additional revenues for IIJA, from IIJA, and Georgia DOT also indicated that the state also has additional revenues. So we will just change the assumption to the original 2045 MTP revenue assumption.
Question, Chairman.
Go ahead.
Makota, is the ports kicking in any money?
The port currently, no. The money that the GDOT is showing is a Y001. That's the state-controlled portion of it. Yeah, but eventually this project will benefit the port because the ships are getting bigger.
I realize that, but...
So they cannot get underneath the bridge, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to be an obstructionist, but I want to go on record as saying that, you know, they certainly need to not even get in line. They need to get in the back and not affect any of the funding that's well in place for the other transportation projects, because the port itself is a huge economic driver. They make a lot of money. They get a lot of money from the state. And we're grateful for all our dollars, too, from the state. But I think the port needs to take a big funding share of this bridge, since the direct benefit from the bridge, all those dollars will directly benefit the port, and as opposed to the entire network of transportation in the county that benefits different parts of the county, the total county. So I want to go on record as saying it. They don't get any money ahead of anybody else in the current cost band.
I put on the record, I don't disagree with you. Actually, I think I indicated at the last meeting that they need to come up with some portion of the money to do the study. Currently, the study...
They need to come up with something for the...
For the project, yes, yes. So I think currently they haven't decided how to deal with this project. So that's why we are trying to program at least the preliminary engineering funds. So we will decide what kind of work needs to be done, because this project...
The approaches, like things like the approaches?
Yeah, the approach, I mean, that will probably impact some low-income area as well.
I know.
Yeah, so
been that way.
So we want them to at least to start the research or start the to do doing like survey and everything. So that would be for the preliminary engineering money. So we want to at least have them kick off to do that part of the work. But specific projects, what kind of details will entail, we don't know yet. Yeah, this $175 million. Over there listed just a rough estimate. I mean, nobody knows because we don't know what specific details will entail.
Well, that's a pretty healthy figure. Some of it needs to come, a healthy portion needs to come from the port. That's all. Thank you. That's the end, completes my comment.
We will make sure to convey that to the board. Yeah.
Please do, because we're going to vote on that in a few minutes. We want a sense of our support if we do support by voting on it, is that we want to see the port, you know, any uptime as well. You know, so that should be in the language, you know. So when you pass it on, you know, they'll know that it's a sensitive body that that we want to do this thing, but we want the port to help out as well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The port is the economic engine for the state, actually. I think they probably generate more jobs than statewide than in their benefit is like statewide, not only for our area, not necessarily all benefits. Yeah, might be burden as well. So we will make sure, yeah, to convey that.
We appreciate that.
Okay.
All those in favor, we need a second motion.
I guess that was a comment, but I will make that in the form of a motion. My preceding comment is now in the form of a motion. We endorse it with the reservations that were expressed by the board, and that's my motion.
Okay, is there a second motion?
Ramon Turner, second.
Okay, motion is properly moved and seconded.
For the record, I'm Tony Abbott. I was moving.
Okay. All those in favor, would you say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There being no opposition, the motion carries. So we will endorse this with the reservation expressed.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next thing on our item is the... is that the December amendments? That's where we are down to that?
Yes, the December
amendments.
Yes. Are you all?
Fine, yourself.
Well. So for the December 2022 TIP amendments, we received requests from the City of Savannah and GDOT and Chatham Area of Transit. There were 16 amendments for December. The first one is Truman Linear Park Trail Phase B. This is to update the construction costs in fiscal year 2023. We have State Route 404 SPUR town-made memorial bridge. And this is the project that Wakota just covered. And it's just pretty much to add it, amend it into the TIP for the PE phase. We had Chevis Road Improvement Project, and this is for shifting funding for the right-of-way phase from 2023 to fiscal year 2025. Garrod Avenue Improvement Project, this is also shifting funding for the right-of-way phase and construction phase. And we have the City of Savannah Traffic Control Center. This is to remove the Y230 funds for construction and replace it with all local funds. We have the I-95 Airways Ave interchange improvements, and this is to add the awarded Y230 funds for fiscal year 2023 in the PE phase. State Route 26/US-80 Bridge over Bull River. This is also to add the recently awarded Y230 funds for fiscal year 2024 for the right-of-way phase. The next couple of projects currently do not have a project number, but they have recently been awarded funds under the Y230 call for projects. And we have State Route 204 Access Study. This is for fiscal year 2023 PE phase. State Route 25 Corridor Study. This is also for a study in the PE phase in fiscal year 2023. President Street Railroad Crossing Elimination Project. This is for fiscal year 2023 study as well. And then we have the Chatham Area Transit State of Good Repair Fleet Replacement. This is for fiscal year 2024 for construction. Ivy and Linwood Sidewalks. This is for fiscal year 24 for the PE phase, utility and construction. Then we have the Green Island Multipurpose Trail. This is for Y301 funds. And this is for fiscal year 2023 PE phase. We also have Tie to Town / Middle Ground Road phase. And this is also a Y301 award for fiscal year 2023 in the PE phase. And the last one we have is for various projects for transit improvements. And this is to add the AOPP and the ARP funds for studies to fiscal year 2023 in the transit section. Any questions?
You want us to endorse this?
Yes, and this is for endorsement.
I've seen that this item appear on several times in the paperwork over the last month. I'm sorry.
Tony Abbott, what is the Green Island Multipurpose Trail? Is that on Green Island, which is, there's no bridge, it's inaccessible except by boat.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on Green Island or is it on Green Island Road? Green Island Road, okay.
It's Green Island Road. I think that did come up for clarification, but it is Green Island Road.
What exactly is that? Well, no, I know. I'm familiar with the area, but what is this multipurpose trail?
Wasn't like a connectivity trail project?
Yeah.
So it's, I believe the trail is already there and it's just a connectivity project.
Between Green Island and say the landings or something?
These are completely separate. And in the last meeting that we had, it came up big at the core MPO board, a big discussion with the county manager and the chair that we need to rename those. Not we, but the county needs to rename those projects because it's very confusing because you can only access Green Island by boat. But this is actually a multi-purpose trail, this part, because where Skidaway Island is right now, it's like a golf cart trail. If anybody wanted to walk or bike on it at this point, they're going to be battling the traffic to do it. So this is really a separate issue just for that portion of this project. It's completely separate.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Are you likely to get that thing clarified?
I'm sorry?
You said that it's confusing. It's likely to be clarified?
It is being clarified, yes, sir. It was addressed at the board meeting that the chair and the county manager discussed that they need to change or add addition to the name so that there is a distinction between the two.
Thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
What we'd like to do now is to vote on this. Is there anyone, is there a sense that we a motion is necessary here? I mean, you want to endorsement, so we
endorse,
have to endorse
yes.
it. Anyone in favor of making a motion to that effect, we endorse it?
Armand Turner, I motion to endorse.
Tony Abbott, I second the motion.
So it's been properly moved to second that we endorse this recommendation. What we'd like to do now is to vote on it. All those in favor, would you say aye, or somewhere indicate your approval of this?
Aye.
So you have approved it. Any opposition to it? Not hearing any opposition, the motion carries. So we are endorsing this recommendation.
Thank you.
Now this brings us to the end of the recommendation. So we now, item three, which is status report. So there's no voting here now. What we do is it's non-action items. We're just getting information. Please, you want to present us to us?
Yes. I'll be presenting item six, the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, draft goals and objectives. Okay. So this is just going to be a brief presentation on how we've updated the draft goals and objectives based on the survey results we received, and then a little more information on some of the specific survey questions that we highlighted in the last meeting. And it's, again, it's just going to be a short presentation, just survey results and then goals and objectives. So this survey, at the time that I created this presentation, received a total of 409 responses. And those 409 responses is what we used to update the draft goals and objectives. And that was as of November 21st of 2022. Again, the survey is still open. So we are still receiving input, and that input could go toward, can go toward other areas of the plan. But these specific 400 survey responses are going toward the draft goals and objectives. It was available in four languages and covered a variety of topics such as roadways, bikes, pedestrians, public transit, equity, and resilience. So from the last presentation, a lot of these results have not changed much at all. So people, the majority of survey respondents want to maintain and repair our roadways, infrastructure, and facilities, as shown by the bar chart below. There's still significant interest in a local rail service and public transportation. And this is just giving you insight on where those stack up against some of the other survey results. Most respondents want bike lanes that are protected by a barrier and greenways that support multiple modes of non-motorized transportation, as shown by the bar chart below that slide. And still 67% of respondents prioritize increasing green and nature-based infrastructure that protects that in transportation projects to reduce flooding and heat stress and improve the health of the environment. And 74% of respondents prioritize identifying and targeting high need population areas where transit investment should be prioritized. So on to the goals and objectives. Based on those survey results, and not just the ones that I've mentioned in the presentation, there were more questions than that, but based on everything that we've received from responding on the questions and then also our open-ended questions as well, we've added some new objectives, which I highlighted in red. So one of them is to increase the resilience of infrastructure to reduce flooding on roadways. This was a very common response in our open-ended questions. In terms of access and connectivity, I added some stronger language on bicycle and pedestrian networks, such as improving connectivity, ensuring that bike and pedestrian infrastructure is in a state of good repair. A lot of respondents noted that some sidewalks had cracks and were hard to walk on, so I added that as well. I added in language on rail travel, prioritizing investment in high need areas, and then also separating bike lanes and pedestrian infrastructure from roadways where necessary, just because that was a very popular response from the people who took the survey. Additionally, I added maintaining and improving our existing roadways, transportation infrastructure, and facilities, since there was heavy interest in maintaining what already exists rather than building new roadways and new roadway facilities. So I wanted to add that language in there as well. And that's the end of the presentation in regards to how we updated the draft goals and objectives. And again, this is just a draft, so it's subject to more drafting and more updates.
Any questions for her?
No question.
You have no questions, sorry. Let me probe it over. It was commented on last time, as I recall, that the representativeness of the sample was something being desired. People seem to be rich, and we can prove what that goes, what that correlates with. And so any people of interest that included or more added?
So what we did was we're keeping the survey open throughout the duration of this plan update process. And we also talked with a representative from the Harambe House, and we discussed strategies on canvassing in those environmental justice communities, and just doing further outreach, more, I guess, on the ground legwork to bring tablets directly to people's doors, and then they can do the survey right on those tablets, and then printing out more surveys. We are following up with them, but they did take an international trip recently, and I'm not sure if they're back yet. But yes, we did talk about that further, and we've created some strategies on how to increase that input.
When will the survey be over?
Hmm?
Will it be over? You say you're doing further refinement of it. When is it over?
So we're keeping the survey open. I'm not sure when the end date is, as we're supposed to accept the MTP in 2024. So are we keeping it open until 2024? So we're keeping it open into 2024. So we still got some time to get more input.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still getting responses, and we're still accepting responses.
I think 400 and what was it, 9 is a really good amount and great start. And I really do like the updates on the access and connectivity and just the language used. I think that's great.
Thank you.
What about non-motorized transportation plan and thoroughway plan, research and data?
Yes, that'll be me as well. So in terms of updating the non-motorized transportation plan, we're including research from the FHWA just to create kind of a roadmap on how we should go about developing non-motorized, such as pedestrian and bicycle transportation in the area. So it's just going to be another short presentation on analyzing Dutch bike infrastructure and policy, and also proven safety countermeasures, and seeing how we could adapt those to the local level. So the FHWA, or the Federal Highway Administration, in conjunction with Dutch planning organizations, released a series of documents explaining how the Netherlands developed its bike and pedestrian networks. And they also compiled research that detailed strategies that can be implemented to make roadways safer. And so we're using the information from those reports to inform the non-motorized transportation plan and the thoroughfare plan. So some of the major takeaways from this document, and I've distilled it down only into a few slides, but the original document is like 80 pages. So I distilled it down into some of the most, I think, important aspects of that plan. So one of that is in prioritizing seamless and efficient bike movement, which is minimizing stops for cyclists by having less signals and less signage. The only way to minimize stops for cyclists by having less signage and signals is to slow speeds down. So vehicles have to move at a slower speed just so they can react faster. And that way it keeps traffic flowing easier, but it does come with slowing those roadways down to make it a bit easier. trust in users and an adaptability of the transportation system. So on some roadways, there's less strict separation between bikes, bicyclists, and pedestrians. And so the Netherlands essentially have to trust people to move safely on those networks. And again, the only way to achieve that is kind of by slowing those networks down. Designs that influence travel behavior. So in the Netherlands, they create infrastructure that make people want to naturally kind of slow down. And this is a concept called visual narrowing, which makes people want to drive slower on roadways. So one of the examples they used was painting like a roadway red, and that makes drivers want to slow down a little bit more. And then also prioritizing network connectivity by building bicycle paths that go to meaningful or important places, and then bicycle infrastructure that connects with other forms of transportation, such as transit and pedestrian networks. And so all of these different forms of transportation reinforce each other. So bicycle transportation reinforces transit and reinforces pedestrian networks. Experimentation is also extremely important in developing bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. So what the Netherlands did over, and it took decades for them to go from car-centric to having a more balanced transportation system. And in order to achieve that, they would do small-scale, real-world transportation tests, such as a temporary bike lane or a temporary reduction in speed limit to see if that would actually work for that area. So if that experiment was successful, it would be implemented permanently. Some of the priorities for cycling in the Netherlands is cohesion, making bikeways attractive, making them feel safe through lighting and having them go through well-populated areas, and making them feel comfortable. So bicyclists don't necessarily feel like they're fighting traffic or feel uncomfortable on the roadway. So this is a lot different than how we do bicycle infrastructure in America. So here are some of the ways that I distilled down just kind of what they do a little bit different. The Dutch don't necessarily try to make every single roadway a complete street, just because some roads, such as a road that goes 55 miles per hour, it might be dangerous to actually have that be a complete street. So instead, they create a bicycle system that is separated from that street. On the streets where bicyclists and motorists do share the roads, they just make those roads a lot slower. So it's easier for both bicyclists and drivers to react to each other. They have bicycle infrastructure have their own networks, and those are called cycle tracks. And then again, complete streets have far lower speeds to accommodate that pedestrian and bike activity. Those small-scale transportation tests are extremely important because you could see real-time what would actually work instead of just kind of guessing and hoping that it works. And they used a variety of disciplines to understand the local environment, from geography to economics, anthropology, and more, to better plan their roadway system. The FHWA also had some reports on what type of infrastructure makes roadways safer for bicyclists and pedestrians. So bike lanes can reduce crashes up to 49%. High visibility crosswalks can reduce pedestrian injury crashes up to 40%. Rectangular rapid flashing beacons can increase motorist yielding rates up to 98%. And sidewalks can reduce pedestrian-involved crashes from 65 to 89%. And letting pedestrians enter the crosswalk 3 to 7 seconds before vehicles are given a green light can reduce pedestrian vehicle crashes by 13%. And so we're including this in the plan. It's just kind of a general roadmap of how things can possibly go here. We're not trying to do a copy paste of how one country is doing it, because what works in the Netherlands might not automatically necessarily work here. But they were successful in creating a more bike and pedestrian friendly community. And so we thought it was good to see what ideas could be instituted here. And these are just the resources for that information. And that's it.
I'm glad to hear you're not doing a cut and paste, because it seems that for all of Europe, and just a generalization, of course, is more heavily into biking than America is. We need to understand too, not all Europe is industrialized or developed as we are, have as much cars on the highways we have, and people rely upon those cars and bicycles. And so, so it never would be advanced for Europe, definitely in terms of the attempt to accommodate bicycles, but they have mindset to do that because all of Europe is more friendly, bike friendly than America is. So I would think that we wouldn't want to sacrifice anything in terms of growth here or industrial development or getting people happy, because I think Americans don't particularly love, they're not in love with bicycles, to be honest with you. And to, if you were to cut, you say you're not doing it. I'm not saying you are trying to do it. I'm saying it's a good thing you don't want to do it. But if you were trying to do it, you would probably create a situation which would probably be in the end more harmful than good, because people would not necessarily, majority of people would not necessarily, motorists would not necessarily approve of sharing highway bicycles or the special privileges or benefits that bicycles get, particularly when they aren't, when most people aren't, only a small, very, very small minority. Other people are interested in bicycles in a way that, compared to what Europe is, particularly the Netherlands. So we keep that mindset in mind. We'd be on safe grounds, I believe. Okay, anything, any other questions or observations for her? Thank you. Now, the next item or update or status report, rather, is...
I actually have an additional part. So there is a grant opportunity available. And just to give a little bit more information on it, it's about reducing roadway fatalities. And so these are the program areas where you could receive funding. So it's motorcycle safety education, occupant protection, teen traffic safety, young adult traffic safety, law enforcement programs, administrative judges, minority highway safety, and non-motorized safety grants, older drivers and passengers, and evaluation program. And so the great thing about this grant is that there are a lot of organizations that are eligible to apply. So it can be county health departments, high schools, EMS, police organizations, churches, nonprofits. So it's pretty wide net. So a lot of organizations can apply. So if you're interested, definitely apply to get funding.
In the past, we've not had this opposition applying. What group seems to be coming forward that hadn't in the past done so? Police, whatever, for these funds. You said the money is there, has probably been there for a while, but people say certain groups have not been tapped because they have not shown an interest in it. I'm saying, is there developing some interest among people who have not been interested in the past? And if so, what would, could you cite one or two of those?
So I'm actually not sure who has. I mean, I know that Bike Walk Savannah receives funding, but I'm not sure about who has not received this funding or who hasn't applied. So that's why we're just giving this information here, so more people can know about it.
So the next one.
The next agenda item is the fleet plan update report. I just want to let you know that our consultants are actually conducting most of the work concentrated on task two, fleet needs assessment. And they're also conducting interviews, stakeholder interviews. So far they have done 10. Several deliverables are available on our website for review. So most of the deliverables for task two, so only one is missing, actually only two is missing, which is the freight network congestion bottleneck and safety. So that one is missing, task 2.5. And then task 2.8, which is the summary from task 2.1 to 2.7. So because the 2.5 is not done, that's why the task 2.8 is not done. And also at the same time, they already started on the land use assessment analysis, economic development and market assessment, and the community impact community scan. for the freight development. So all those tasks, as I mentioned, probably will be wrapping up by the end of February. So from March to June, we will develop the recommendations. So recommendations for the freight land use and recommendations for policies, freight policies and recommendations for infrastructure improvements. So right now, just to focus on the needs assessment.
Questions for? Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
See another?
It's only, this is the last one. The urban flood, this is for the urban flood model study. The UGA consultant team met in November to just kind of talk about like status updates. One of the things that was highlighted was the need of the critical infrastructure GIS data. We've reached out to some of the jurisdictions requesting this data because this would feed into the road vulnerability analysis. Then just lastly, the consultant team will be here at the next TCC meeting in February. So if you all would like to attend that or listen in, just to get the updates on the project and some of the findings of what they have so far, definitely tune in. But that's all. Any questions?
My understanding is that this is our first time doing a flood modeling.
Yes.
You said a report will be made in February of next year?
The consulting team will be here to kind of present some of the findings that they have so far. They actually did a kickoff meeting, I want to say it was back in October.
But when will they be finished though?
I want to say they're slated to be finished next year, like latter part of next year.
Not February, but more like November, December.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions for her? Thank you. That brings us down now to agency reports, which we don't get. Do we get them? I don't think we never got them in the past.
No, so there's no agency reports. What we do is we put these down here at the bottom under notices, and they're there just for information only. If you've looked at the agenda and had any questions, you know, we'll be glad to answer any questions if we can, or you know, refer you to the agency itself. But number 10 has your next meeting on it. The rest of those are just there for information.
Okay. Is there anything we want to add to that? I mean, I think she's saying that something we can request information and then go to agencies and get that information and bring it back to us. Question is, anything we want to know that we don't know? I'm sure it's we don't know it. Things that we are aware we are aware don't know, would like to know. You get my point? Do any agency we want to hear from? What things we want to hear from them on, or what report we want on? We didn't think of anything? Okay, so that's why they don't give agency reports, because we don't ask them to report back on certain things. That's why there's nothing to report back on now.
I'm good.
Okay. I'm saying it. I'm saying that's why we aren't hearing anything, because we never asked for anything. I understand that I'm good too. Okay, so it brings us down to okay, the notices that we've already cut, old business, other business. No, I don't think, in no other business, I don't think.
No, sir, there's
there
not.
Are any other, any public comments? I
don't. No, sir, there is nobody on.
And the notices we've already covered. I mean, we picked up the rules, I believe. So we really need to adjourn this meeting because we've done everything we need to do, right?
Yes, sir. And the next CAC meeting is February 16th, 2023 at 5:30.
And our colleague here will be chairing that meeting. Good luck with it. Any comments before we end this meeting? Meeting now. adjourn.
Thank you.